The Reaper by Runix has become an underground sensation among dark romance enthusiasts, with BookTok creators propelling it to viral status through passionate, tearful reviews. This second installment in the Dark Verse series continues the story of Morano Vitalio and Tristan Cain, weaving a tale so intoxicating that readers report staying up until dawn to finish it. What makes this book particularly compelling is how it balances its darker themes with unexpected tenderness, creating what one celebrity reader called a masterclass in emotional whiplash. As the series continues to gain momentum, psychologists have even noted its exploration of trauma bonding as surprisingly nuanced for the genre. For those brave enough to step into this world, prepare for a journey where violence and vulnerability collide in the most unexpected ways. The story picks up immediately after the events of The Predator, with Morano Vitalio and Tristan Cain standing in a rain-soaked cemetery. Lightning illuminates their faces as thunder rolls across Shadowport's skyline, the air between them crackling with tension after their first kiss, a moment that marks a significant shift in their complicated relationship. Their breath mingles in the cold air, neither willing to break the charged silence. Meanwhile, a mysterious figure watches them from behind a weathered angel statue, a man with a distinctive skull ring who contemplates the thin line between justice and vengeance, his presence foreshadowing the conflicts to come. Morana, the daughter of Shadowport's most notorious crime boss, has made her choice to align with Tristan despite their violent history, a decision that will ripple through both their worlds. Her father's empire, built on blood and fear, stands in stark contrast to Tristan's calculated pursuit of justice, yet she finds herself drawn to his darkness. When they return to his penthouse apartment in the city's affluent district, they encounter Dante Moroni and his sister Amara locked in a heated argument about family loyalty and revenge. The tension in the room mirrors the storm outside, each person harboring their own dangerous secrets. Exhausted from the night's events and nursing a bullet graze on her shoulder, Morana retreats to the modernly appointed guest room. There, bathed in the blue light of her phone, she discovers missed messages from Tristan sent during his frantic search for her earlier that night. Each text reveals a desperation she never expected from him, a crack in his usually impenetrable facade. Their relationship exists in a delicate balance of power and vulnerability, like two apex predators circling each other. That night, Tristan enters her room while she pretends to sleep, his fingers hovering mere millimeters above her wound, her jaw, her lips, never quite touching, but creating an electric current between them that makes her skin prickle with awareness. The moonlight streaming through floor-to-ceiling windows casts shadows across his face, highlighting the conflict in his expression. When he leaves, Morana pleasures herself, her breaths heavy in the darkness, only to discover he's been watching from the shadows. This creates an unspoken understanding that binds them together in ways neither fully comprehends, a moment of raw intimacy that transcends their physical attraction. This dance between them, predator and prey, constantly shifting roles, establishes the core dynamic that will carry through their journey. Neither fully trusts the other, their past filled with too many betrayals and half-truths, yet both are irresistibly drawn together, recognizing something in each other that no one else has ever seen or understood. It's a connection forged in darkness, but reaching, perhaps, towards something like light, though both know their path forward is lined with danger and desire in equal measure. The question remains, will their mutual attraction prove to be their salvation or their downfall? When Morana learns she must accompany Tristan and Dante to Tenebre, the stronghold of the Moroni crime family, she's thrust into a world even more dangerous than the one she's known. The fortress-like compound, nestled in the Italian countryside, looms before her like a monument to power and secrets. During breakfast on the morning of their departure, a panic attack overwhelms her, vision darkening at the edges, breathing becoming shallow and choppy, her hands trembling against the mahogany table, until Tristan unexpectedly intervenes. He presses his chest against hers, establishing a steady breathing rhythm she can follow, his heartbeat becoming an anchor in her storm of anxiety. It's a moment of unexpected tenderness from a man known only for brutality, and the intimacy of it leaves her unsettled. At the private airport, while Dante handles their travel arrangements, a mysterious stranger in an expensive suit approaches Mirana. His words are carefully chosen. "You've changed the game, little dove," he says, sliding a business card into her hand. "When you're ready to know the truth about your mother's death, call this number." The interaction lasts mere seconds, but sets the stage for the intricate conspiracy that will gradually unfold throughout the narrative, suggesting that Mirana's presence at Tenebrae is far from coincidental. Upon arriving at the sprawling Moroni compound, Dante takes on the role of guide, briefing Mirana on its layout with military precision. The estate consists of 5 separate wings, each serving a distinct purpose. The staff quarters, where dozens of servants and guards live, the forbidden training center, its windows perpetually dark, Dante's wing, a modernized section that stands in stark contrast to the classical architecture, Tristan's isolated cottage by the lake, positioned strategically far from the main house, and the central mansion, where Lorenzo Moroni, the family patriarch, resides in calculated opulence. Dante reveals that Tristan occupies a unique position as the only outsider permitted to live on the family compound, making him both privileged and vulnerable in the complex hierarchy of the Moroni organization. The relationship between Lorenzo and Tristan emerges as particularly complex and volatile. Since recruiting 14-year-old Tristan from the streets, Lorenzo has attempted to control him through various means— torture, blackmail, and occasional shows of paternal affection. Yet Tristan remains fundamentally uncontrollable, a force of nature within the structured world of organized crime. As Dante explains, with a mix of admiration and concern, "You try to leash me? I'll fucking strangle you with it," has been Tristan's consistent response to authority. Lorenzo keeps him close, partly out of fear. Tristan is a wild card who could become truly dangerous if left unchecked, and partly because his very unpredictability makes him valuable in the family's more delicate operations. When they finally arrive at the mansion, Mirana feels the weight of history pressing down on her like a physical force. The marble columns and ancient stones seem to whisper secrets, and she's struck by an overwhelming sense of déjà vu. This place had changed her life twice, though she doesn't yet understand how deeply connected her past is to this imposing structure and the people within it. The iron gates closing behind her feel less like an arrival and more like a trap springing shut, sealing her fate with the click of a lock. Inside the Moroni mansion, Mirana immediately becomes a pawn in multiple power games. She encounters a stunning redhead named Chiara, who claims Tristan as her man, creating momentary doubt until Tristan silently reassures Mirana with a look. Lorenzo Moroni questions her presence and orders a body search, which Tristan performs himself, his touch intimate and deliberate, marking her as his in front of everyone present. Lorenzo insists Mirana stay in the main house rather than with Tristan, creating tension that she diffuses by agreeing to the arrangement. A scarred man named Vin escorts her to her room, unexpectedly offering her a knife for protection and warning her that she's with vultures now and that they will be activating the ears in this room soon. At dinner, Mirana boldly confronts Leo Mancini about raping his wife, establishing herself as someone who won't be intimidated. Throughout the meal, Tristan keeps his hand on her thigh beneath the table, a gesture that grounds her rather than being sexual. When Lorenzo deliberately provokes tension by mentioning Mirana's childhood visit to the house, a revelation that visibly disturbs Tristan, Mirana stands up to him, declaring herself his Pandora's box, who could destroy his empire if harmed. Later that night, Tristan follows Mirana to her room. Their tension escalates when she mentions Lorenzo sent her dress, triggering Tristan's possessiveness. He presses her against the mirror, declaring he'll destroy anyone who touches her, while she boldly claims him as mine. Their encounter intensifies as they have sex against the dresser. Afterward, Tristan rips apart the dress Lorenzo sent her, a symbolic rejection of the older man's attempt to control her. These power dynamics extend beyond the bedroom. Mirana begins working from Dante's wing of the compound, where she's warmly welcomed by Amara's mother, who insists Mirana call her Zia, aunt in Italian. This simple gesture of belonging affects Mirana deeply, offering her a glimpse of the family connection she's never experienced. Curious about Tristan's visit to her father when she was missing, Mirana accesses hidden surveillance equipment she'd meticulously installed in her father's office years ago, a precautionary measure that had proven invaluable countless times. The sophisticated system captures both video and audio with crystal clarity, allowing her to witness every detail of the confrontation that unfolded in her absence. In the footage, she watches Tristan burst into the office like an unstoppable force of nature, his usual calculated demeanor replaced by raw, unbridled fury. He demands her whereabouts with such intensity that even her father, a man who instills fear in hardened criminals, momentarily flinches. When her father dismissively calls her a whore, Tristan's reaction is swift and violent. He moves with lethal precision, forcing her father's face against the mahogany desk with enough force to make the wood creak, his voice dropping to a dangerous growl as he commands, "Her name is Mirana." The intensity of the confrontation escalates as Tristan makes his threat, referencing a dark history with his own father. "What I did to my father will seem merciful compared to what I'll do to you if you ever call her that again." His words carry the weight of someone who has already crossed unthinkable lines and wouldn't hesitate to do so again. Before departing, he delivers a bone-chilling promise. If any harm comes to Mirana, he'll return to ensure her father's death is prolonged and excruciating. When challenged about his passionate defense of her, Tristan's cryptic response, "That's for me to know and her to find out," hints at deeper, unexplored motivations. Witnessing someone defend her honor with such ferocity, a first in her life dominated by fear and manipulation, leaves Mirana emotionally raw. Upon Tristan's return, she acts on pure instinct, launching herself into his arms with tears threatening to spell. Her whispered thanks for his care catches him off guard, but he instinctively wraps his arms around her, creating a moment of genuine connection that shifts their dynamic irrevocably. Parallel to these personal developments, Mirana delves deeper into her investigation of disappeared young women. Luna Kane's case particularly haunts her. Tristan's sister vanished from what should have been the safety of her bedroom, despite having a notoriously protective brother. Mirana's own abduction and subsequent return stands out as an anomaly, likely spared only due to her father's position as Shadowport boss. Her methodical research uncovers disturbing patterns, young women vanishing without trace, encrypted messages about human auctions, and evidence pointing to an organized trafficking network operating in plain sight. The investigation takes an unsettling turn when a mysterious entity using the handle MReaper00 reaches out through secure darknet channels. Their message is cryptic but knowing. Add flesh trade to your search parameters. You're close, but missing the bigger picture. This anonymous figure demonstrates intimate knowledge of both her identity and investigation, promising a future meeting when the time comes, suggesting they're not just another informant, but someone deeply embedded in the criminal underworld she's trying to expose. After an assassination attempt leaves Mirana fighting for her life in her bedroom at the Moroni mansion, she flees across the grounds to Dante's house. When Tristan arrives, disheveled and wild-eyed, he immediately takes her into his lap, holding her protectively while she presses her face against his neck, finding safety in his embrace. This attack marks a turning point in their relationship. Tristan carries her to his lakeside home, a significant threshold they both recognize, and tends to her injuries with gentle care. In bed together, he makes a solemn vow against her neck. Never again. They will die 1,000 deaths before they ever touch a single hair on your head again, I promise. He then asks her to move in with him, creating a home together neither has experienced before. Their domestic life reveals new dimensions of both characters. Tristan cooks breakfast each morning while Marana watches from her claimed stool at the island. His bedroom, with its warm beige walls and forest green accents, contrasts sharply with his cold penthouse, suggesting the true self he keeps hidden from the world. Among his mementos, Marana discovers a photo of a cherub-cheeked toddler with bright green eyes, his sister Luna, and unexpectedly, a photo of herself at graduation. Yet barriers remain between them. For days, Tristan maintains physical distance despite their shared bed and domestic routines. When Marana confronts him about this at a nightclub, he admits he was testing her jealousy, wanting to see if she burned as he burns. In response, she drops to her knees in the alley and takes him in her mouth, making it clear he's hers and demanding absolute loyalty in return. My loyalty is not a luxury for you, Marana. It's a gift, and it's yours, he promises. Their moment is interrupted by an explosion that appears to kill Dante. Though devastated, Marana later learns the truth. Dante staged his death to go underground and infiltrate the syndicate. This revelation comes in an intimate moment under the shower spray, where Marana sees Tristan's tattoos fully, a wolf howling at the moon for Luna, and other meaningful marks. In this vulnerable moment, Tristan reveals how thoughts of Marana, even violent ones, kept him alive during his darkest moments as a young man. At Dante's fake funeral, Marana notices her father unexpectedly arrives and approaches Lorenzo Moroni. She also spots a strange bearded man with a cane observing from a hidden position. Lorenzo later pulls her aside, shocking her by directly asking where Dante is. He knows the body in the casket isn't his son. He offers a deal. If she reveals Dante's plans, he'll tell her why she was returned to her father. Though tempted, she doesn't betray Dante. Lorenzo cryptically states, "Oh, he loved you," when she denies her father ever cared for her. Meanwhile, the mysterious M. Reaper 00 sends Marana her original codes, the ones Jackson stole and Tristan was framed for. This person has bypassed her security and suggests they meet. After examining the code, she confirms it's untampered with and exactly as it was when stolen. During an intimate moment with Tristan, he mentions overhearing a conversation where Moroni subdued her father by saying, "Remember what happened to Reaper." The username and this reference can't be coincidental. After days of research and a secret meeting with the now underground Dante, Marana receives a note from the Reaper requesting she meet them at a warehouse. Security footage reveals the messenger was a bearded man with a cane and skull ring, matching a tattoo on Tristan's body. At the warehouse, an older man with a limp emerges from the shadows and reveals himself as the Reaper. He tells a shocking story. He was once part of the outfit's alliance with Lorenzo and Gabriel, wearing the same skull ring. When he discovered Lorenzo was involved in trafficking children, he threatened to expose him. In retaliation, Lorenzo murdered his pregnant wife and took his daughter. That daughter, he reveals, is Marana, given to Gabriel to raise as a reminder of Lorenzo's power. This revelation explains everything: her father's disdain, her mother's absence, the cruelty she endured. The Reaper explains he orchestrated the code theft and framed Tristan deliberately to bring them together, knowing Tristan had been watching over her for years and would protect her. When Lorenzo Moroni and Gabriel Vitalio arrive at the warehouse, the Reaper stands waiting in the shadows, his demeanor unnaturally calm despite the tension crackling through the air. His silver-headed cane glints in the dim light, a seemingly innocuous accessory that conceals a deadly secret. In a movement so fluid it appears almost choreographed, he extracts the hidden blade and slices Lorenzo's throat with surgical precision. "For Elena," he whispers, voice thick with 2 decades of grief, "and for the child who never drew breath." Even as death claims him, Lorenzo's criminal instincts serve him one final time. He drives a knife deep into the Reaper's side. Dante observes his father's final moments with cold detachment, 20 years of hatred having frozen any filial sentiment. Gabriel Vitalio's composure crashes down around him. His eyes wild, he paces like a caged animal, demanding answers about his biological daughter's whereabouts. The facade of the powerful crime boss shatters completely, revealing a man consumed by obsession and madness. When his gaze falls on Marana, his features twist with savage hatred. "Nothing but a whore's replacement," he spits, decades of carefully hidden contempt pouring out. "A poor substitute for my real flesh and blood." Marana stands her ground, voice steady as she confronts him with the truth about Luna Kane and the other girls he'd stolen 2 decades ago. Her words cut through his ranting, forcing him to face his crimes. Gabriel's admission comes with a twisted pride, followed by a venomous promise to destroy any children she might bear in the future. The sound of the gunshot echoes through the warehouse, a decisive end to the man who had raised her with false love. At the remote cottage, Marana's carefully constructed world implodes. Her identity, already a complex tapestry of lies and truth, unravels completely. During a severe panic attack, Tristan takes control, guiding her to the bathroom where he holds her under the cold shower spray. The shocking temperature serves as an anchor, pulling her back from the edge of hysteria. When she voices her self-doubt, suggesting Gabriel's real daughter should be standing in her place, Tristan's response burns with fierce possession. "Mine. You're the girl I killed for and the woman I die for." The power vacuum created by Lorenzo's death necessitates swift action. Dante calls an emergency meeting with the outfit's key players, establishing his authority with the same ruthless efficiency that marked his father's reign. A new alliance emerges from the ashes of the old guard. Tristan assumes control of Shadowport's operations, Dante takes command of Tenebrae, and Marana steps into her role as information broker. A modern echo of their father's original partnership, but built on stronger foundations of trust and shared history. In a quiet moment after the storm, Marana presents Tristan with an envelope containing what might be Luna's location. The possibility of finding his sister after so many years lights a spark of hope in his eyes, something she never thought she'd see. Though the words, "I love you," remain locked behind his walls, his actions speak with deafening clarity. As rain drums against the windows, he pulls her close, pouring everything he cannot say into a kiss that tastes of promise and possibility. Their shared future stretches before them, no longer shadowed by the ghosts of the past. At its core, The Reaper is a story about finding belonging in unexpected places. Both Marana and Tristan have lived lives defined by violence and isolation. Yet in each other, they discover something neither thought possible, a home. Their relationship isn't conventional or healthy by normal standards, but it provides what both desperately need: understanding, protection, and acceptance without judgment. Marana realizes she doesn't need verbal declarations of love from Tristan. His cooking breakfast each morning, the way he holds her neck, how he makes her feel safe, these actions speak louder than words. He's given her a home and belonging she's never known before. Similarly, Tristan finds in Marana someone who sees his darkness and doesn't run from it, who understands the monster within him because she has her own. The revelation about Marana's true parentage recontextualizes her entire life, explaining the cruelty she endured and offering a new understanding of her place in the world. Though her biological father dies shortly after she meets him, his actions have set her on a path toward building a new family with Tristan and Dante. As they form their new alliance, there's a sense that these 3 damaged individuals might create something better than what came before. With the promise of finding Luna and bringing down the child trafficking ring, they have purpose beyond mere survival or revenge. The cycle of violence hasn't ended. They remain firmly entrenched in the criminal world, but there's hope that they might use their power differently. In the final scene, as Tristan watches Mirana by the window during a thunderstorm, he reflects that love is too tame a word for what he feels. She has realigned him from within, becoming his gravity, his purpose. With their pasts bathed in death and blood, he's found something so precious he'd endure it all again just to find her. It's a sentiment that encapsulates the dark romance at the heart of this story. Sometimes the most profound connections are forged in the most unlikely circumstances, between people the world would call monsters.